Yay! Hi, ladies.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Awesome. I love it. Punctual tribe sisters this evening. Awesome. Who's
I too.
calling in from 408?
I
Is that
am Nancy.
Nancy? Oh, hi. Awesome. All
I'm
right.
4'8".
Great. So I'm gonna, oh, hi, Peggy. Hi, Jasmine. Yay. Oh my gosh. All three of you are relatively new to the tribe. So before the elders get here, I just want to say welcome to the group call. Awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you, Nancy, and looks like the other two of you are on mute. So we're going to hang tight for just a couple minutes. We did get quite a few RSVPs, so I'm going to wait. Usually I wait until like 33 after, so for everybody to join us. Yes, hi, Ren. And Ashley, oh my gosh, we have such a great group tonight. I'm so excited. Cool. Hi, everyone. Hi. So we're waiting for a few more ladies. So we're gonna hang tight as we kind of usually do until maybe 33 after, but most of you are here. Yay. So you might want to grab your notebooks, and glass of water, glass of wine, whatever you're, whatever you fancy right now, slippers, blankets, high heels. And this call, as with all the calls, is going to be recorded. And I created a workbook. So I'm actually going to be doing a screen share of the workbook as well. And then after this call, I will send out the workbook and all of you can dive into that and, copy it and make your own notes in that and listen to the call recording again if you want to, which I usually don't do it this way. But I am tonight because this is an open discussion and a Q&A. So I'm like excited for everybody to be asking questions and diving in. And then you can kind of implement everything after the call. So for now, let's just kind of get ready, get cozy. I'm going to give it a couple extra minutes until Kim and couple of other ladies are here with us. Cool. All can you all see me, hear me? All right. A couple more, maybe a minute or two additional here. There were a couple of you that contacted me before the call to let me know that you may need to hop off early or that you may be like in transit, which is totally fine. We would much rather have you here than not join because you have to join late or hop off early. So, Jasmine, you let me know. I think that you might have to hop off early. You're in your soccer gear. I love it.
Yeah,
Okay.
my game. I'm sitting in the parking lot. My game is at 9:30, so I'll probably go at like 9:15.
Okay, cool. I will keep that in mind. Thank you so much. I'll put
I'll
you
just be
in.
silent and kind of just like wave, and then.
Okay, yeah. Okay, sounds good. I'll make sure to put you up kind of early on in the queue for the Q&A and discussion so that you get some time here. So
Okay.
does anybody else have any time parameter needs joining, departing? Okay. I think Paige and Sharon, who aren't here yet, they said they might join late, so that might be happening. So good to see some of you and hear some of you that I've never like had on these calls before. I always get really excited. Yay. Cool. All right, I'm gonna wait 30 more seconds because I know that Kim is joining us tonight. So I'm just gonna, oh, boom. Hi, Kim. Hi, Miss Kim.
Hello.
Yeah, I was literally just saying, I'm gonna wait 30 seconds because I know Kim's gonna be here tonight. Sweet. Yay.
Here.
All right. Perfect. So I'm gonna go ahead and get started. We will have possibly a few more members joining us. It sounds like traffic in various areas of the country this evening was a little bit hairy. So we're gonna jump in if we have our other sisters join us. Awesome. And if not, that's totally cool too. This is a really great group. So I'm gonna go ahead and click the slate. And the first thing I would like to do is officially invite the newcomers, the brand newcomers, Peggy and Nancy. And yay, I'll invite you to introduce yourselves in a moment here during introduction round, but we're so excited to have you. Like, this is such an amazing, amazing sisterhood, and I'm so grateful that you're making the time to be here. Yay. And I think, Jazz, this is your second call with us, is that right? Yeah, okay, cool. So you're relatively new, but yeah, part of us still. Cool, so welcome, newcomers. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all an overview of what we're doing tonight. Tonight's call is very different than what we've done before, so I'm excited about that. And then we'll go ahead and we'll jump in. So the first thing we'll do is an introduction round. So this is where we get to meet each other. And I've actually created a workbook for this call. Let me see here. A workbook that I'll be sending out after the call, but I might be kind of toggling back and forth between my screen share and the group view so that you all can see. But we're gonna go through introductions first, and then we'll do it round robin. I'll start, and then I'll just kind of name each of you. And whoever's willing to participate, introduce yourselves, that's great. If you feel like you just wanna kind of listen in and you don't really feel like sharing today, that's totally fine. There's never any expectation at the participation level that you wanna contribute at. It's what feels safe for you, what feels good for you. And this is a really safe space and a fun place to get to know each other. So feel free to at least share with us who you are. So introduction round, we'll do name, location, gratitude, something you're grateful for today. How are you feeling? So kind of physiologically, emotionally, how are you feeling? That's really important because we're not physically in the room together. So it's kind of hard to read, like, where is everybody at? So for the sake of like empathy and sisterhood, it's really great to know, you know, how you're feeling. And then what inspired you to join this call? So kind of a, you know, maybe a soundbite around that. And then what would you like to get out of this call? So a soundbite around like the takeaway of any kind. Everything is welcome here. So we'll do introduction round, and then we're going to open this up, and then I'm going to kind of do some facilitation. We're going to open it up again. So the first thing we'll do activity wise is I really want to hear what your ladies' take on entrepreneurship is. I know that some of you might have just like read it and have been hearing about it, and that's kind of where you're at. Some of you might be business owners or entrepreneurs like currently, and then, you know, the whole spectrum. So I'm just really curious about getting my thumb on the pulse of what your perception of entrepreneurship is, maybe, you know, what you've heard or what you've experienced, just so that we all kind of get a sense of like where each other are at with within this theme, this gigantic theme of entrepreneurship. And then I'm going to go ahead and do some story time, and I'm going to keep this brief because I really want to make, you know, hold space for the open discussion in the Q&A. But I also want to share with you ladies, new and old, some of you have been in this group for years and some of you are brand new. So I just want to maybe do like a highlight reel of like, how did I get here? Like, why am I an entrepreneur? How am I qualified to do this? And so I'll share a little bit about my story and kind of my process in becoming an entrepreneur. And it's important for me, for you ladies to know that. And it's also, just so you know, this is like the most vulnerable call I've ever done, because I'm like straight up like hot seating myself the whole time. I'm like, let me tell you about me, and then you can ask me anything. but I love this stuff. I love talking about it. And so I'll do a little bit of sharing, and then we're going to open up into like some basic definitions of entrepreneurship insofar as I believe it to be, and then some outside definition quickly. And then we're going to go into open discussion and Q&A for the majority of the call. So any questions before we hop in? Okay, questions, announcements, cool. So I'm going to hop off of screen share for a second. Also, what do you ladies, maybe at the end of the call you can tell me, what do you think of this font combination? I'm playing with different typographies for my brand. that'll be your question at the end of the call. Yay or nay. Cool. I'm going to go off of screen share here for a second. So I will start the introduction round if I can figure out my technology. There we go. All right. So I'll start the intro round here. So it's name, location, how are you feeling? What inspired you to join the call, and what would you like to get out of it? So I'm Fawn, and I'm in Sandpoint, Idaho, in my hometown with my family. And I am so grateful today because I heard from my boyfriend, and as some of you saw in the Facebook post and on online, I posted yesterday that there was a gigantic natural disaster that ripped through my second home, the village in Mexico that I live in part of the year, like literally devastated it. I heard from him today. I hadn't heard from him since Sunday night, and I was like, I knew he was okay, but I was just like, what's going on? So I got an update. Essentially everybody's okay, but it's a matter of like rebuilding a pretty devastated, you know, infrastructure, power lines, water lines, all that stuff, but everybody's all right. And so that was just like, oh, okay, like, thank goodness. So I'm really grateful for that. And I'm feeling excited about this call. It's really interesting, and I'll get into this in my personal story, but it's really interesting for me. One of the things that blows my mind all the time about being an entrepreneur is that I get to do what I love, right? Like being a coach and a leader and all this stuff. I get to do what I love and empower others and serve others, but I also like am obsessed with business and like learning about business and entrepreneurship and what's possible. So this call for me is like double. It's like a double oomph of excitement that I'm having around it. And therein also vulnerability and a little bit like super stretchy for me tonight, if I'm being honest, because like I said, I'm totally putting myself in the hot seat for you ladies to dive into and ask me questions. But that excites me too, right? Like vulnerability is the name of the game. So, and what I would like to get out of this call, I would like to do my very best to have a better understanding of what your needs are and your curiosities are and how I can better serve them either on this call or outside of this call. If I do start a mastermind masterclass, this will be super helpful for me to like kind of gauge where to go with that too. So, all right, that was a super long intro. You don't have to be that long. It'll be 30 minutes to a minute or 30 seconds to a minute. So I'm going to round robin and go to Ashley. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ashley. I'm in Los Angeles today, or I live there, so I'm there most days. What I am grateful for today, I'm grateful for my cousin Amy today because my mom is driving me crazy with wedding planning. I'm getting married in 2.5 weeks, and my mom's like, yeah, that's good, but my mom's a momzilla. So, I was able to call my cousin today and she kind of like helped me chill out for a little bit. So it was nice. That's what I'm grateful for. And then the next question is what inspired me? How I'm feeling today. I'm feeling a little tired. I did not sleep very well last night. I fell asleep on the couch. Shouldn't do that. What inspired me to join this call? I think some of you know, I'm in a period of transition. I quit my job, and the industry that I was doing for the past 15 years, about a month or so ago. And I definitely want more freedom and flexibility and, as well as to serve and help people. And so entrepreneurship, or if that's a word, seems to be the way to go. And I'm interested in that. And I just want to learn more, about it and where to even get started. So I guess that's what I'm hoping to take away from this call too. But I'm just super excited to get started and ready to start figuring out where to go next on with my professional career and all that. So.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you so much for that introduction and all of that. And I'm so grateful that you will have your cousin to hold space for you. And like,
yes, yes. Yeah. Today, and it was very, very needed.
Oh, awesome. Grateful that you have that support. hi, Ren. So good to see you.
Hi, it's good to be here. See all your smiling faces. Hey, Kim. Love your hair. I'm Ren, as we just said. I'm in Northern Illinois, just outside of Rockford. I'm kind of tired today. It was just a long day. But I'm really grateful for my optometrist because we've been I've been having some issues with my vision recently, and we figured out what it is. It can be resolved basically with hard contacts for sure. And we're working through whether we really need to go to hard contacts or not, because I guess there's a lot of trial and error with that. But he is the best, and he is super patient and super awesome, and I am so glad that I have him. And what inspired me to join tonight was pretty much because I'm kind of like smack dab in the middle of the early stages of entrepreneurial adventures. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing and how to do it and experimenting with like all kinds of shit. And you guys are so awesome, and I just want to see where this goes.
Yay. Awesome. Thanks for being with us tonight. So always so great to have you with us. Ren's one of our, I would say, like tribal elders, in the sense that you've been with us for a while. Not that you're old, but you're old, in wisdom, in life and purpose.
There's some days. There's days.
And I'm just really grateful that you're here and continuing the learning journey around entrepreneurship and like keeping keeping that fresh in your consciousness and on top of mind. So I'm happy about that. Let's go to Jasmine. Hi, darling.
Hi, everyone. I am Jasmine. I am coming at you from a parking lot in central New Jersey. I don't actually know what town I'm in. I think it's Morris Plains. I live in northern New Jersey. It's called Standiston. I am feeling grateful, I suppose, for my husband every day, but especially today when I've been feeling so conflicted about not being able to be on every call on Wednesdays. He let me drive down an hour early to my game to sit in the parking lot so I could be on the call. And he cooked dinner when I got home and put both kids to bed. So that's my husband. He's amazing. So I'm feeling pretty grateful for him. I'm feeling anxious right now. I'm a high school math teacher, and we're experiencing some major budget cuts in our state. And I got word that there's a chance that my job could be in jeopardy this year, even though I've been there for almost 10 years. Everyone that I know is like, you just started with Fawn. This is a blessing in disguise. This is just a sign that you're not supposed to be there anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, I have two kids and I'm the breadwinner. I wasn't ready for this yet. So I'm anxious. Maybe excited. I don't really know. I vacillate every day since I've heard that. What inspired me is I never really saw myself as somebody who was quite the full-blown leader, but I definitely have a streak in me that wants to beat to my own drum and help people and kids and adults in more ways than I am right now. So hopefully I can move in a direction, whether that's an entrepreneurial path or not, that can help me to get there. And I just hope to get out of this same, I think that's the last call, and it's just the connection with all of you strong women that are trying to do the same thing and just be open and continue to connect with people, because I really believe that's all we have. So trying to stay connected and learn.
Thank you, that warms my heart so much. Thank you so much for making the time to be with us, and please thank your husband for like totally carving out this space for you and encouraging you to be with us. It's so so wonderful, and you so deserve it. I'm going to take a moment here to just let the newcomers know. So Jasmine just said something that really resonated with me, and I was about to do this, and I was like, Peggy and Nancy are going to think I'm losing my mind if I just go ahead and do this. So Peggy and Nancy, what this means, if someone says something that we resonate with, we do these like wiggly fingers, or like one wiggly hand if we're like, yeah, I get that totally, or two if we're like, oh my gosh, that's me, or like wiggly fingers if it's like, oh my gosh. And it's just a way to show empathically that we're connecting with the other person without interrupting their stream of like whatever whatever they're saying and being like, oh, me too, right? Interrupting that. So Jasmine, what you were saying about the community and your intention in being here and what you want to get out of this in the community, I was like, me too. Cool. I'm going to save the newcomers until last in case you're wondering, like, why isn't she getting to me? Kim, hi.
Hello, I'm Kim. I am in Youngstown, Ohio, and I am grateful for you all actually today. This is like the positive part of my day. It's been a rough day. I can so relate to the teacher thing. We had a couple of fights and it was just threw us off today. So, and I'm tired. I'm tired and my voice is almost gone because I'm yelling, get out the hallway, get in class. But why was I inspired to jump on the call? For one, because I've missed the last two and I refuse to miss another one.
We've missed you.
I just want, I don't know, I just want to connect with, like she said, some people. And I am a life coach, so yes! I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people. Yes. That was one of my action steps. And so, I just love the support of other people who are doing the same thing. So, yes.
Yay, awesome. Yes. So for those of you who don't know, or maybe some of you who do, Kim's been mentoring under me for the last year and training to become a coach. And we've been doing this really intimate, high touch mentorship since January. And just recently she is coming out of the cocoon and she is sharing with the world that she is a coach. And that is like really stretchy for her. You know, all the imposter syndrome stuff that comes up when we go for our dreams, right? Where we're like, oh, who am I to do that? Well, Kim is officially a coach and she is a badass coach. And the fact that she just announced that to the group makes my heart sing. Yay. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, I'm so proud of you. All right. So now let's go to Peggy and Nancy, who are our newest sisters. Yay! And I'll open the floor to you, Peggy, and then Nancy will go to you. Yeah, welcome. Big hugs to you, ladies. Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Peggy Arrington. I live in a small town, Sanger, Texas, just north of Dallas, about an hour. I also am very thankful for my husband. He's a great man and supports me in whatever I choose to do, which changes on a daily basis sometimes. But, and I think I'm feeling pretty good today. Tired, I think, like everybody else, life kind of makes us that way, but pretty good. I was hoping to hear on a job today that I had applied for. I haven't heard yet, so I'm hoping maybe tomorrow. So a little anxious about that. But I think what inspired me to get on here tonight was I've had my own business. I've had three of them in, for the last probably 30 years. So I'm trying to decide if I want to do something else, maybe work for someone else, which is kind of a new thing for me. But everything I can think of brings me back to entrepreneurship. So I'm kind of struggling there to see, you know, if I could think of something that I would enjoy. But anyway, so just kind of getting a feel for what other people are doing and have in mind and hoping to learn from that. And then also just the kinship of other women. I tend to isolate myself and don't go out and make friends. So I'm really looking forward to this. So. I think that's about it, but I'm very excited. Very excited.
Yay. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you so much for being here. Yes. I'm so, just so grateful. So, so grateful. And yeah, you're a seasoned, you know, Peggy's a seasoned entrepreneur and I love that you're still here, Peggy, like curious about what, like how else that could look like or take form or take shape in your life, even though it may be like you've kind of gone through it successfully a few times. You're like, oh, like, okay, what, what else could this look like? Yes. For me? Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And Nancy, hi, darling. I see that you're calling in. I think you might be driving or doing something right now. So that's totally okay. All right. So, and it's totally okay if ever anybody wants to just like listen in and kind of stand by, or if you're doing dishes or like running errands, that's okay too. So Nancy is with us. She's also a new member. This is also her first call. So let's send her some love over to the digital airwaves here. Yay. Nancy's in California and she's freaking amazing. Like she's, yeah, really amazing. So thank you for the intros, ladies, it is so amazing to be here with you all always. And it's always really special to me when we have the like the seasoned veterans as well as the newcomers. I need to find a better way to say that. Like senior members, like it's just no way that I cut the cake. Sounds great. Anyways, those of you who have been with us for many moons, as well as newcomers, I always love the mixture when we have this. So yay. All right. So let's talk about the theme of entrepreneurship. I'm going to open it up to you, darlings, to share with me whatever comes up for you when you think about entrepreneurship, or when you hear the word entrepreneur, or like even startup or business development, stuff like that. And what I'm curious about here is the meaning that you attach to it, right? The meaning that you make from it. And there's no right or wrong here at all. This is literally just, I'm curious, because I think we can all look at one tree in the forest, right? Like it's autumn. So this is a great example, like a tree in the forest and like the autumn leaves are turning all kinds of colors. We could be standing in a circle looking at the same tree and we might describe it very similarly, or we might have completely different descriptions of this tree, right? Like, oh, like orange, bright, powerful. And someone else is like brown, dark, black, grainy, but it's still the same tree. So there's no wrong or right. It's all really a matter of perspective and the level of contact that we've had with this thing called entrepreneurship. When I was just starting out, I had some perceptions about it and some ideas about it. And I look back at what I used to think and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I had no idea, but that's okay. Right? Like we don't know what we don't know and we can't know until we learn more. So what I'm curious about is like at this point in your life, what comes to mind when you think of entrepreneurship or entrepreneur? And then do you have a burning question about entrepreneurship? And if so, what is that question? So I'm going to ask each of you in like roundtable format here. And for the sake of time, let's say maybe like a minute, minute and a half share each for each of you in for both of the questions together. So you might say like, what comes to mind when I think of entrepreneur? I think of Elon Musk. I think of Lady Gaga. And my biggest burning question is how the hell does it all work? Or where do I start? You can elaborate more than that. That was kind of funny. But so is this making sense? And please give me some wiggle fingers if you're okay with participating in the Q&A round here. Okay. Awesome. Let me just make sure I've got everyone. I'm not seeing Peggy. So I'm going to go off the screen share for just a sec. Can you guys see Peggy? Yeah. Interesting. Oh, there we are. I'm still learning. Vulnerability. Yay. All right. So I'm going to start in round robin format here. I'll start with Jasmine because she has a bit of a time budget tonight. Jazz, what comes to mind when you think of entrepreneurship, and do you have a burning question about it?
I think when you first said it, the first thing I thought of was the dichotomy between being the owner and the freedom that comes with and the power, but also the lack of freedom that comes with, because you are on call 24/7 because it's your baby and you're the one growing it and doing it, and maybe the stress that entails. And the biggest question everyone has their story and how they got started and how they made it happen. And every story seems so different. So how could that align to someone who, like me, who hears those stories and doesn't have that uncle who owned the business or that initial investment or that idea or that creation, or who doesn't have that starting point? How do you make it happen?
Okay. So I think what I'm hearing you, your curiosity around this is you don't necessarily have this inherent drive or haven't had an inherent drive to like be an entrepreneur or have like people around you that are entrepreneurs, but you're curious about it and like how to enter into it from a, like almost like a different domain.
Yeah. And then like, I didn't wake up like one morning with like, oh, I just thought about making this really amazing thing that could make me millions of dollars. Like, like, there's no genius ideas that I'm just sitting on trying to figure out how to create.
I might challenge that in our coaching. But okay, well, I'll take your word for it.
So this is why, yeah, exactly.
For the sake of tonight, I'll let you slide. Awesome. Great
that
question.
I'm not aware of yet.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Who can resonate with some of what Jasmine said around like her question, like how to align with it? Like, am I an entrepreneur? If so, like, how do I start? I don't feel like I'm like the rest of them. Right. Thank you, Jazz. Let's go to Ashley.
Hello. When I think of entrepreneurship, I think of working for yourself, someone who's a leader, bold, innovative, maybe a bit of a risk taker. And then also some of, you know, the things around having freedom because you're working for yourself, but there's also lack of it. And then my biggest burning question is, I mean, it's similar to Jasmine's, is how do I even get started? Something Jasmine said when she was on earlier about like, I've never seen myself as an entrepreneur. So, I've been a leader in some things, but I'm not like Jasmine said, she's like, I'm not quite a full blown leader. And so I kind of feel like that too. And so I guess, yeah, my biggest burning question is where do I even get started? 'Cause I have no idea.
Yeah, thank you for that. Who can resonate with what Ashley was just sharing around like the question of how do I get started and or this, and Jazz, you mentioned this too, the dichotomy between like it's total freedom and it's also not. Like, how does that work? Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. I'll go to Kim. What are your thoughts?
Okay. So when I think of entrepreneurship, I think of being the boss, owning your own business, whether you're offering a product or a service. And with that, I agree, comes like great responsibility. And my biggest burning question, I think at this point, is how do you know when to totally fly? You know, I'm a teacher, so, you know, it's easy what I'm going to do. I could do after school or in the summers and pretty much, but, you know, I'm just thinking down the line, when do you just totally fly with the idea and take all the breaks off and, you know, 'cause you know that the time may come that things change, and how do you deal with that? And yeah, so probably worrying about the future way too much, but yeah.
Yeah, that's honest. Anyone else relate to that? Yeah. Tell me a little bit more if anything comes up for you around this. But like, what do you mean by like fly? I don't want to make assumptions. I have a sense, but what does that mean?
Kind of. I mean, I know that there's a way to see what you're making and things like that, but just to let that idea like take over. I think like one day I'll come to the point where I may have to choose my time and effort that I want to really fully put into it, mm-hmm. and maybe leave, you know, a career behind. So like, when do you know that it's time to, you know, totally let go and let that thing blossom as much as possible?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a really good one. I get so excited about this stuff. <I'm> like, yes. Thank you, Kim. Peggy, would you be willing to share what comes up for you? You're a seasoned entrepreneur, so I'm really looking forward to hearing your take on this and any questions.
I think when I think of entrepreneurship, I think about taking a passion that you have or something that you love and trying to figure out how to make a living at it. Mm. You know, not just so that you can do that and still live and you know, do both at once, just have a life and and love it and have a way to make money doing that. And then I think my burning question is, since I've been through it, how can I do it but keep work and life separate? That's mm-hmm. the part I struggle with. Just having my business not consume every moment of my life, which it does, and it's really hard. So I think setting those boundaries is something I'm extremely interested in.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. So you're speaking from an insider's experience and perspective. You're speaking to some of the curiosities and concerns that have already been brought up by the women who haven't yet entered in, of like, oh, this like work-life balance thing. Like, how does, you know.
You do, yeah. You want, since it is yours, you want to do it perfect and you want to put everything you have into it. Mm-hmm. But you have to make sure you leave enough of yourself for yourself. So,
yeah, thanks. Thanks for speaking to that. And I'm just going to pin this to perhaps tonight, perhaps future discussions if I do this masterclass. But something that keeps coming up for me as I move forward in my business, and I'm constantly always actively learning from different people, different programs, things like that, about like what's possible in this day and age. And that's something that like it took me a minute to understand, that like the world was a certain way for most of the 20th century, and then the internet happened, and now especially like, you know, like 2012, 2016, now we're in 2019, and it's like things are changing so fast, which is, it is what it is. And I think what is like part of this learning curve for us as entrepreneurs is to understand and know how we can, like the systems that are available and the resources that are available and the ways in which we can work smarter, not harder, which is such a like catchphrase, but so that we can, right? Like with freelancers and contracting out and delegating, which is a question we'll get to in a bit here. But Peggy, I love that you're still, you know, you're still open to like what else is possible, what might be available these days that maybe wasn't when you started out, you know, even if it was 2 years ago, like so much has changed, but I know that your history goes back farther than that. So yeah, that's a really big and important part of this conversation, is like what's possible right now is like absolutely incredible and very different than what things looked like 20 years ago in really great ways. So anyway, let's go ahead to Ren. I'd love to hear your thoughts on entrepreneurship and if you have a burning question.
Sure. When I think of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, I typically think of somebody who's a leader, trailblazer, might have a slight problem with work addiction. and might have some control issues, to put it kindly. I know I do. And that's not necessarily, I don't mean that in a bad way necessarily. It's like you want things to be a certain way, and in order for those things to be a certain way, a lot of times you have to either head it up or just be in charge of it, or just do it yourself. And I do think of freedom, but at the same time, not so much freedom, but it's I know it is somewhat paradoxical, but it's something you want to be tethered to, something that you're enjoying and loving, and it means something to you. It's not just another job, not just bringing home the paycheck, which we all need. But yeah. As for burning question, all the questions, I don't even know where to start.
I appreciate that. Oh, thank you for sharing. And I really love your perspective around this too. Like, you have a pretty expansive way of thinking about it, and realistic too. Like, yeah, like control issues that might be going on here, like desire for things to be a certain kind of way. I don't know what you're talking about. but then also that like kind of paradoxical thing around like wanting freedom, but also like being tethered to it. I really like the way that you described that. That was cool. Awesome. So Nancy, I know that you might just be sitting in or you might be driving, but you are more than welcome to share with us any of your thoughts or questions around entrepreneurship before we shift into the next section. Okay. Cool. All right. So let's go ahead and shift into story time. For the sake of Jasmine's time budget here, and she has to hop off in just a few minutes, I want to speak a little bit to your curiosities there, Jasmine, before I go into story time. And maybe this will be like kind of in tandem to story time. So the, like this question around not necessarily feeling like out of the womb, like I'm supposed to be an entrepreneur, right? Or maybe not feeling like you have like genius ideas to like bring to the world, like this burning desire that maybe you see a lot of successful entrepreneurs having, like that archetype or that avatar, that kind of type of person. Maybe you don't necessarily see a lot of yourself in that, but then there are some parts of you that you do see that could be potentially maybe. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're open to this, even though it may not be like inherent or may not have been a part of your environment, growing up or presently. And what I'll invite you to do is actually related to that call out that I made around like, I don't have any genius ideas, or like burning desires. And I'll talk about this more later in the call too, but because I know you have to hop off, I want to mention that from my perspective, and other people are going to have different opinions about this, but from my perspective and my experience, this is all about the inherent genius inside of us that sees a need in the world or needs in the world that we feel called to do something about, or we feel like we can see the issue and like maybe we could come up with some kind of solution for it, or we could like build a team that could come up with a solution. But it really starts with doing, like, first of all, the fundamental work of the Life Fund Purpose Program. Like every single, I'm going to go down a bit of a tangent here, but every single module of Life Fund Purpose is actually directly correlated to entrepreneurship. And I'm going to do like a demo of that if we have time on the call today, because I made this like giant whiteboard. But so once we get aligned and aware of our core values and our strengths and our passions and what matters to us, when we dive into like in module 9, the Ikigai diagram, and we explore that, what happens, especially if we're keeping the window open for entrepreneurship, is we might find that, okay, wait a minute, like, I do see that there's a need in the world for this thing. It could be on a like community level, a neighborhood level, it could be on a global level. But where this really, really starts fundamentally is seeing that there is a pain point or a need in the world. And then maybe we have organically, we have an idea about it, or like some entrepreneurs do a shit ton of research and like market research, competitive analysis, see what else is out there. Like, why is this need still happening? Why hasn't this been met yet? And how might I be able to meet this need in a better way, or like in a different way than what's already been attempted? So it starts with this like human desire to be of service, which is a really interesting thing. And I love thinking about entrepreneurship that way, as opposed to like, right? As opposed to thinking about it as like money or like profits or like, you know, shareholders and all that stuff, which is all important. I don't mean to like sound crass, but at the very, very bottom of what like my belief system in entrepreneurship is, how can I serve the world powerfully in ways that it needs to be served? Period. Like, that's it. So I don't know if that shifts anything for you, or maybe like chew on it. But I'd love to hear any thoughts that you have before you have to hop off here, or maybe you have to hop off right now, but I just wanted to offer that up.
Thank you. Yes. I think what I said before, it sounded like a ceiling. Mm-hmm. And there is a ceiling in my perception right now of like my belief for the entrepreneurship in the product realm. But I think why I'm feeling more open is because I'm like a naturally gifted person of service, but I don't know how that translates. Like, I don't know how my strength and personality could translate to making money when that's like, all I want to do is just like give. I don't know. That's what like is invigorating, but how does that bring a paycheck? So now I teach. And so like I'm giving every day and I love parts of it, but like just not 100%. So I agree with you that I need to prioritize digging into getting started with the program, because I think I totally believe in what you're saying. And I know that we have the power within ourselves to make the progress and figure these things out. But I also know myself, and I'm a person that needs a team to make me work out, because it's how I function. Like, I need other motivators. So I'm hoping that that's what this can do for me, is connect me with other people who are like-minded in like a growth mentality, and is highly intellectual in their own strengths, and then also figure out how like I can share my love with the world.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say that. It sounds so cheesy, but I feel like that's all I've ever, just who I am. I'm like the Tigger. I'm like,
oh, I love that.
Let's be excited, let me light up your life, let me just help. What do you mean? I it's okay, we can work through it, you know. I just don't know how that translates into a paycheck. So
yeah,
I will listen to the rest of the call though. And I appreciate you giving me time to go first, and it's nice to meet some of you that are new, and I'll be around as much as I can on Wednesdays and until this league ends in 3 weeks. So then I'm open.
Thank you so much for sharing
all of that.
Good luck at your game.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yay. Who can relate with what Jasmine was saying around like, how do I monetize this thing or this passion that I have, right? This interest, like, how do I make money? And how do I even feel okay about making money, like doing the thing I love, right? Like, that's like Resistance Town 5000. That's where the bridle gets like yanked back. It's like, you can be of service, but how dare you want to make money doing it? Right. So that's I'm feeling more and more like I'm totally going to do this masterclass, by the way. That's one of the major themes that we get to work through as entrepreneurs, is our money story, right? Which we do on this journey, as some of you have already done with me in your money story module 8. And then some of you haven't yet, but yeah, module 8 about money story. It's like, we get to do that personal development work around like what does money mean to us? And like all these, like all the baggages that we've been bringing along with us that are, you know, old archetypes, old definitions, old stories, old tapes, and redefining what, you know, money means to us. And on a personal level, and then like, imagine, I mean, and this happens all the time where, as an entrepreneur, like someone starts a business, but like we get in our own ways, right? As entrepreneurs, if we haven't done our self-development, which is why I say that Life on Purpose is a foundational program to becoming an entrepreneur. If we don't have the awareness, or we haven't gone through some kind of a process to work on and through ourselves and our self-awareness and our empowerment, we start a business, our business is going to be a direct mirror of us in a lot of ways. So if we have money story issues, if we're feeling undeserved of receiving financial abundance, if we're feeling like, you know, oh, who am I to bring my gifts in the world? Or, you know, oh, who am I to work part-time and make abundant cash flow when there's so many people starving in the world, right? Like if we have all this stuff playing out and we start a business and this is playing out in tandem, it's going to have an effect on whatever we're doing, right? Is this making sense? So I feel very passionate about this piece, especially because there's so much that, like so much conditioning we have around money and finances that can negatively or positively impact our entrepreneurial journey. So I guess on that note, to speak to what Jasmine was saying and to all of you right now, Module 8, Money Story, is a really great start to like, okay, this freaks me out. Like, why does this freak me out? And the workbook that's in there, if you're not there, if you haven't started the program, like no worries at all, like we're going to get to it. But if you'd like me to resend that to you and you want to revisit it, or if you already have it, I invite you to do so, because you get to like pull back the covers and be like, what are the monsters that are under there that are freaking me out? And why, what are the stories that I've picked up along my life path and journey, and how can I orient myself in a healthier way? And in that module, there's also literature and resources, specifically chosen resources that helped me move through that whole blockage, because man, did I have a lot of it. I'm at my parents' house right now, so I'm kind of whispering because I'm like, you guys did this to me. Sorry, Dad. but yeah, we get it from our childhood. Anyways, there's resources in a workbook in module 8 for that. Okay. So does anybody have any questions or like any urges to share anything or relatabilities before I shift gears? Okay. All right. So I'm going to do a little bit of story time. I'm realizing that I'm feeling more passion around opening the open discussion than I am about sharing about myself. But I do want to give you ladies like a little bit of context around like, how did I get here? I will do like a full on-camera recording of my bio in the next couple of months, because I'm doing a bunch of professional recording for the official launch of Life on Purpose. And so I'll do a full, probably like hour-long bio, but for now I'm gonna keep it as short as I can. Do any of you have any like burning questions like for me about me before I go into story time? Okay, cool. I'll check in again after I kind of bear my soul to all of you. All right. So how did I get here? And why am I so passionate? It's kind of dual pronged. As a lot of you know, like, how did I become a life coach? Like, how did I get to where I'm at in that capacity? And then like entrepreneurially. So as a life coach, I had a burning desire for a long time, like passion around studying human happiness. Why are some people happy and why do some people seem to really struggle? I was always a really super, super curious kiddo. I was reading adult like nonfiction literature in third grade, like one of those kids. And I really got into psychology and studying the human condition, if you will, at a pretty early age, and then went on to Berkeley to study psychology, specifically studying the correlation between actual human fulfillment and meaning, and what is it that gives people that experience versus, you know, not so much with other people. And so pursuing that interest and that passion, and then after college, the two paths that were like paved for me in gold at that point were to go into academia, get my master's, PhD, become a, you know, professor, and or become a therapist, psychologist, a psychiatrist. And neither of those appealed to me because I wasn't interested in academia, and I was not interested in studying and focusing on for thousands of hours what was wrong with people. I was super excited and passionate about what's right with people, which is why my thesis was on like human happiness. So I just graduated, and then I just didn't do anything, much to the dismay and shock and awe of a lot of people around me. I spent my mid-20s spinning my wheels and doing other things. And I hit this point where I was like, okay, I'm actually not doing anything with my life. Like, this is not okay. I know that I'm here to do something big and impactful. So I started taking workshops and reading books and like really working on myself, like, you know, self-development study wise, but still wasn't able to like find the path. Thank goodness somebody was like, you need a life coach. And I was like, I don't know. Like my professor said that life coaches aren't real. So I like poo-pooed it. But then I was like at this breaking point in my life where they're like, you need to get a life coach. So I did. And that was like, that was the huge shift for me. Latter 20s, like not only getting that support and professional guidance and also therapy, but then realizing like, oh my God, this exists. Like you get to help people become their best selves. Like this is amazing. So that's how I connected with my professional why, right? Like, and at the time, this was 8, 9 years ago. At the time, like this whole digital nomad thing wasn't like a thing, right? Like being able to travel independent. Like I didn't know anything about the lifestyle. I was just like, life coaching is amazing. And then once I started to dive into it and I started mentoring under some amazing coaches, I started to see, like get to know myself better, my core values and like what it is I really wanted in my life and what were like, what my hell yes life looked like with the support of my coaches. And then I started to see that like, oh my God, coaching, there's coaches out there in the world, like traveling and like living these amazing adventurous lifestyles that I've always dreamed of. And so boom, right. So I'm like, okay, this is definitely the thing times two. And then in terms of the business part, right? So it's very different. It's like one thing to have a passion. It's one thing to like, oh, this is what I want to do with my life. Like I love art or I'm a musician or I'm coaching, et cetera. It's one thing to like find your passion. And it's another thing to create a business out of it. I'm going to be straight up with you girls. there are two things coinciding here. As Peggy mentioned earlier, right? Like finding something that you love and you have passion about and then figuring out how to like make a living doing that. So in my coach training, like tons and tons and tons and tons of coach training, mentorship, like all that stuff, I found that I didn't know the business side of things at all. I had a few friends who were entrepreneurs, watched them succeed massively. My father is an entrepreneur. He's a very like humble entrepreneur, but nonetheless entrepreneur, but I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't know anything about business, if I'm being honest. And this is where we take a right turn in my story time. And so I'm also like a person of like enormous ideas all the time. I'm like, what about this idea? Like, this is a genius thought. Like, what if this? And I think it was my 30th birthday. I'm in Big Sur with my father and some friends, both two of whom were entrepreneurs. And I was like, guys, okay, this time I actually have a really great idea. Okay. In addition to coaching, I have this amazing idea for a startup. Check this out. Right. And so I like tell them about this idea and somehow all of them think it's brilliant. They're like, you have to make this a real thing. So my best friend at the time and I were like, he was like, I will help you. I will help you make this a real thing. And I was like, really? Okay. So I went on this year long deep dive, like self-study with my co-founder around what is a startup? How do you start a startup? I was going to Silicon Valley. I was going to SF. I was in LA. I was going to meetups. I was like hanging out with all the like techie people. And so this must've been like 5 years ago when it was like, you know, really big and trendy. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, I'm a life coach and I'm in a tech startup. What is going on? Why am I in Google headquarters right now? But I learned so much. Like it was this like really weird, awesome crash course for me and like business development and what is a startup and what is the new version of an entrepreneur. And I think that's where I really benefited from this experience was like learning the modern day approach to entrepreneurship and being an entrepreneur. So we like, oh my God, months and months and months of development and coding and like all this stuff, like learning and learning and learning. And then the night before we launch our startup, long story short, night before we launch our startup, like actually go live with it, we find out after hundreds of hours of market research, we found out that there was this like company, this main competitor that was exactly what we had created, like exactly. And they'd been around for several years and they had $10 million in seed funding already, or Series B. And so we were like, okay, do we want to enter anyway, like into the space and compete, or what do we want to do here? So thankfully my business partner and I, my co-founder and I, were like very much on the same page, and we both decided to like just pivot into like, oh, well, we learned a lot. Let's see what else we can create. So that's where I got a lot of my chops, entrepreneurially speaking. And then building my coaching business, taking myriad courses around like how to build a successful coaching and consulting business. Ryan Eliason was his program is amazing. It's called Visionary Business School. And something that I didn't know about before that really helped me like move in more, I think, powerfully into this space was learning about what social enterprise is, or social entrepreneurship. Does anybody know what that means? What that is? Okay. So this was really helpful because it removed this kind of like icky stigma around like business and corporations and like, you know, money and profit. So social enterprise is a gigantic, thankfully, sector of the business world now. And it's focused not just on profit, but it's on the triple P. So people, planet, and profit. So people and planet come first, and profit is at the kind of fundamental bottom line. You can learn more about this by Googling or checking out social enterprise and or benefit corporations. There's now an actual classification for corporations who are socially oriented. And so there's all these like checklists. They have to be fully transparent. They have to give back a certain amount to the world and all this stuff. So I found out about social entrepreneurship. I just voraciously was like reading books and doing like just following all these amazing people in the world who were like changing the world and creating so much abundance. And then I took a program that was specifically about social entrepreneurship and Visionary Business School by Ryan Eliason. So that was another like introduction for me, so that I like learned from the startup world. And then I learned from like, oh, there's like a way to actually have a beneficial, socially conscious, like help the world business that's not just all about like money, shareholders, blah, blah, blah. So that was helpful. So then I just, you know, started implementing and testing out, and lots and lots and lots of like trial and error in building my coaching business. There was a point where I launched for 7 months a fashion company in Los Angeles, a startup in that sector as well. So I just take ideas and I'm like, let's do this. But that didn't work out because the team didn't work out. So I learned a lot around that as well. But anyhow, so that's a bit of my background. And I will say that throughout the, you know, the many, many years that I've been like stumbling and bumbling and sprinting and crawling through this process, I would not trade it for the world. Because as I learned through my personal development coaching and my professional mentorships and just getting my hands wet and like seeing what was possible, I realized that entrepreneurship is a trifecta of a fit for me. And it's not for everybody. And entrepreneurship is not better or worse than working for a company or having an employer or being a stay-at-home mom or any, like there's no better or worse across the board. It's about what fits us as human beings, right? Like what is the fit for us? Peggy had mentioned something earlier around like kind of feeling like she might want to actually just like work for someone and kind of like, like not be, you know, like the business owner and employee and, you know, all the things. And I appreciate that you're open to asking yourself that, because there, you know, for a lot of us, there might be this story that entrepreneurship is like the golden shrine. But is it actually aligned with who we are as humans? Right. Personally, for me, it was a trifecta of a fit. And I realized pretty early on that, like it's in my DNA. But for those of you who are wondering, like, it doesn't really feel like it's in my DNA, that's okay too. It does not mean that you can't be a phenomenal entrepreneur and make a positive impact. So for me, when I started doing work around my core values with my coach, started going to seminars and workshops, investing a lot of time and money into learning more about personal development and entrepreneurship. As the more I learned, the more I saw the fit. Also, my vision has always been to make a positive impact. And like my original mission statement 6 years ago, I'm trying to remember, with my coaching business, was I realized at some point that I actually physically, humanly can't change the world by myself, right? I'm going to need some help. I think before that, there was some part of me that was like, I can do it. I'm going to be whatever. And so I realized like the way that I can do this is by becoming like viral in my positivity, right? And like empowering other women and other women who want to make a positive difference in the world, empowering them with the knowledge and everything that I've learned and like in more so so that they can go out and then empower others. And I was like, that's it. It's going to be viral. So my vision to like conquer the world with my positive radiant light became apparent to me that like, oh my God, that kind of is possible if like we have positively impact enough people. And that was part of my big why as well. And my mission. And then it was a great fit for my personal growth, because I'll tell you what, ladies, just in case life isn't a fertile enough playground for your personal growth and everything that we're doing together in our coaching and the program, being an entrepreneur will really bring it out of you. Like you're really going to have some tests. And I'll do a screen share here maybe toward the end. I built out this visual framework for some of my, some of you who are becoming entrepreneurs or are entrepreneurs. And I connected, like, I'm super visual, so I made this like mind map, and I connected each of the modules from Life on Purpose, each module to how that relates and positively supports entrepreneurship. So there's this like cool visual aid that I might bring up in a bit. But with personal growth, I realized that like, oh my gosh, having a business, being a coach, and positively impacting the world, like this is so much bigger than me, but it's the only thing that's going to get my own head out of my ass to like be my best self and like actually wake, like get me to get out of bed in the morning and like really stretch to become the best person I can be. Like it has to be bigger than ourselves. And you'll hear that across the board as you listen to podcasts or, you know, like inspiring TED Talks or YouTube videos or read the literature. You'll hear that one of the primary drivers here, Vishen talks about this in his book, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. One of the primary drivers is like, it has to be bigger than us. Like this has to be about like our big why has to literally be a big why of like, I see kids in my neighborhood going hungry. That is fucking not okay with me. And I'm going to start a nonprofit, or I'm going to start a food drive, or I'm going to start a, you know, nutrition class for whatever. Right. And it has to be beyond our own egoic sense of self, because if it's just about us, then when it comes time, when times get tough, or when it's like, we've got a stacked 18-hour day, or, you know, heaven forbid, when life calls us or business calls us forth, if it's not about something bigger than us that we care about, and if it's just about the money, like money is enticing, freedom's enticing. But let me tell you, having something bigger than ourselves is like, that's the thing that's going to like, boink, get us up out of off our butt. So for me, that was like, that really like resonated with me. And then service and true freedom. So, this is something that a lot of you mentioned, kind of sharing your thoughts around entrepreneurship, around like, it's true freedom, but at the same time, it's like, you're the one making things happen. So it's not freedom. I could talk about this. I could probably do like a 7-hour seminar about just this, which I won't right now. I'll spare you all. But what I will say is that I believe that entrepreneurship is one of the only ways to actually have true freedom. Like actual true freedom. And there is a way to get away from trading hours for dollars. And there are business models that allow for you to like invest or to start side companies. Like there's so much possibility in this day and age. So yeah, it's a freaking grind and a hustle for a while. I'm going to be totally transparent. Like, yep. And a lot of you see me still doing that, like, cause I'm obsessed with what I do, but also I'm still just learning how to like delegate and like, you're like, oh yeah, I don't have to do my own editing. And like, I don't need to design my brand. What am I doing? So the freedom comes with this willingness to delegate, and also the intelligence and the know-how to be able to create something that can start to run itself, and we can be a part of it, but it's not like dependent on us. So that's a whole different thing. Like, this is literally, I'm going to do a masterclass, I decided. That's going to be a part of it. how to actually create a self-sustaining business if that's what we want. So, and I would not trade this for the world. Yeah, I work a million hours a day, like, feels like. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, I'm here with my family right now. I'm able to, you know, you all know, like, how much I appreciate my lifestyle and how much it means to me and how much I'm grateful for it. And I worked really hard for it. And personally, my core values, as I shared, probably have shared with a lot of you, freedom, adventure, leadership, creativity, and positive impact. Like, this is 100% aligned with those things. So if I were doing something else that wasn't, I would be a less happier person. okay, so that's my share time. I also, down here in resources, I've created a BizDev 101 resource that one or two of you have taken a look at. You are all welcome to dive into this. It's everything I wish I knew that I didn't know, and this is all my own, like, wisdom that I'm pouring out in this. So, you know, take it with grain of salt, what have you. There's also a shit ton of, like, books and resources in there that have monumentally changed my life and helped me as a business owner. So feel free to dive into that. And in the masterclass, this will probably be part of the backbone or the curriculum of what we do. Ooh, I'm excited. So feel free to dive into that and hear more about, like, my 2 cents or 1,000 cents or biz dev best practices. Cool. All right. Thank you all for listening. I am super ready to take a break from talking. So one more thing here. So entrepreneurship, this is my definition. And then there's a bunch of other, like, kind of links to different definitions. But as I was, like, kind of recently looking into, like, what is the definition of entrepreneurship? It's like, they all mention profit. They all mention profit, right? Which, look, that's the world we live in. Like, we need, money's helpful. But I was just like, that's just one metric, right? Like, that's just one metric. What about those, like me living in a village in Mexico and traveling a ton? Like, I know a lot of entrepreneurs who are amazing barterers and, like, have a really amazing lifestyle and, like, have their banana plantation or, you know, crops, and then they trade for this and that. So I was just like, I'm going to go ahead and, like, move toward this definition here. So to me, entrepreneurship is creating an effectively delivering a high value solution to a legitimate need or pain point, and leveraging that exchange to meet the mission and metrics of the individual or organization. So, you know, we get paid in pancakes, we get paid in thousands of dollars. Maybe we're a nonprofit and we're feeding the children in Africa, but we actually don't make a profit, right? So I get why profit's in there, and I don't want to be super semantic, but for me, entrepreneurship is about meeting a pain point in a really powerful way. But feel free to dive into these, because these are more of, like, the scholastic definitions, modern definitions of entrepreneurship. Okay, let's open it up to open discussion. I will, let's see, we can do round robin, or I can do show of hands. Let's do show of hands, and we'll do, like, maybe three to, depending on how many of you have, like, questions or comments, we'll do, like, 3 to 5 minutes each. Okay. Who's got a question or a comment or a pondering or just something that came up? Kim. Awesome.
When you were explaining, like, your different startups and your decision to let them go, or the decision to stay with them, or the decision to see if you can curve it into something else. So that whole thing of picking it up, letting it go, picking it up, letting it go. That scares me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
of it being successful, it not being successful. Either it slows down. I don't know if that, but just, and I'm not necessarily talking about the coaching thing, but, you know, I have some other ideas with yoga and meditation and just make it into a whole thing. So when do you know to let it go or give it time? Like, how do you feel that out? Or, and even when you let it go, how do you deal with that to not feel like I failed, you know? So,
oh my gosh, these are so great. Right. Yeah, such great questions. So, okay, each scenario, the two startups that I did were very, they're very different and very different reasons. But what I had learned, ooh, let me share this with you ladies. Okay, this is how I was able to make those decisions. It doesn't really matter why I made them, but how I was able to make them. So I'm sharing this business development worksheet with you ladies right now. And I'm going to land on and focus in on number four, which is about what is called the lean methodology. This is used a lot, lingo that's used a lot in the startup culture. Show of hands if anyone's ever heard like the lean approach to business. Okay. Ish. Okay, cool. All right. So this was how I was able to, like, with my teammates, make those decisions and not consider them as failures. And I think that's a key distinction, right? Is like how the meaning that we make out of our endeavors that may not get off the ground or may get off the ground and then get like shot down. So yeah, this workbook, Kim, will, I think, give you a lot of perspective around that question, because I talk about the lean methodology, which I'll unpack in a second. And I also talk about this thing that I learned from a mentor at Caltech he was a startup mentor. Let's see if I can find it. Sorry, ladies, where am I? There's a section in here called Don't Fall in Love with Your Monkey. And I learned, yeah, here we go, seven. Don't fall in love with your monkey. So this is all about not having a personal egoic attachment to your thing, your business, your whatever it is, which sounds impossible, right? That sounds crazy. Like you're birthing this baby into the world and you're like, oh, but don't care about it. Like don't have a personal attachment to it. But I can tell you that I learned this through being in the startup world and using the lean methodology and I talk about this in personal development too, where if we shift our mindset from the dichotomy of success and failure, from that, like success and failure, to learning and learning, right? Experience and learning, and what worked and what didn't work. Right. And like removing this personal stigma that we all carry around what we've been told it means to be a failure. So we're told that being a failure is wrong. We're told that being a failure is like the worst thing we can do and be as human beings. Like if we fail at something, we're kind of fucked in the eyes of society. So we're told, right? So it's as much about removing that stigma and that that story we have as it is about reorienting ourselves toward everything's a science experiment, which is what the startup lean methodology is built off of and based on, is it's a science experiment. So we have a theory, we have an idea, we test it by doing research, like, okay, I feel like there's a need in my neighborhood for like a food bank, right? I wonder if that's true. And then doing that research, oh, there's definitely a need in my neighborhood for a food bank. Or maybe it's not about needing a food bank. Maybe it's about nutritional education. Maybe it's about nutrition classes, right? So doing the research to like validate our idea as best we can based on the market research that we're able to do. And then like, okay, let's say like, yep, my idea is the thing. I think it is. Putting it out into the world, testing it. And then learning, right? So I'm going to scroll back up to this lean methodology section. So hypothesis phase, research, information gathering, MVP. So who knows what MVP stands for? Not in the sports world, business world. Okay. Yay. Okay. This is really important and exciting for me to share. So MVP means minimum viable product. And what that means is that we're not going to build a mansion before we know what our actual viable materials for building our house are and like the thing upon which we're building it. So another way to say that is we're going to build the simplest version of the thing that functions to serve the need, right? So minimum, still viable product. And the product can also be a service or a technology, but they use product for the P. So that's where we get to like build like a small version, test it out, and get the feedback, right? And in the startup world, what often happens is they're like, I have this great idea for this, like, you know, this app. And they'll, you know, a team will create it and they'll launch it out into the world and they'll get early adopters, first users, and they'll get the feedback around it. And, but like, or it's like crickets, right? And like, nobody's using this thing because for whatever reason. So then they get to come back to the table and assess like, why didn't anybody want our thing? And not take it personally, right? Like it's so inbuilt into startup culture and the scientific process to not get attached to our theories or to our MVPs. And so then it's like, okay, well, what if we added this feature? Or like, what does our market really want then? Oh, somebody did say that they really want this, you know, or like 200 people said that they would like this feature on the product. So let's put that there and then put it back out there and see if people like it. So it's this kind of constant, like, test, learn forever until finally there's this like, oh my gosh, people want Airbnb, right? They want to be able to, if you like do like listen in on any podcasts or articles or blogs about Airbnb and Uber and how they started, like Airbnb team, especially people are like, there's no fucking way in hell people are going to let people stay in their houses. And like strangers stay in their houses and strangers get into their cars, like, and strangers driving them around. Like that's crazy. Like Airbnb got so much pushback from so much of the industry. And like, look though, they tested, they saw what people actually wanted. And then they went with it and they were like, well, seems like people are willing to open their homes to complete strangers. So we're going to keep going with this. And they didn't take it personally, right? And so, you know, in the other side of the coin or in contrast to that, when there are so many startups who like launch their thing and nobody wants it, or like there's a feature that drives them crazy. So they have to pivot, iterate, which basically means like change based on the feedback, until oftentimes what happens is they end up with a company or a product or service that's completely different than what they started with, because they're listening to what the market wants, not what they think the market wants. So that's a long-winded way to answer your question, Kim. But that's how I knew, like that's how we knew in our process to fold and the first time and actually fold the second time. And that's how I've known in my coaching business to like not fold, is by paying attention to these metrics. And there were other factors involved. Like, you know, when we realized that we had a direct competitor in the market, it would be like trying to launch against Amazon or something, like not that big, but kind of. And we were like, do we want to do that? Or do we want to just like think of something else? And then in the clothing startup that I was in, and this is really vulnerable for me, but it was a unfortunately unforeseen bad read on my behalf on my co-founder and different co-founder, and had to I had to literally just like leave that startup. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening to that response. Yeah, I mean, the not taking things personally thing, right? We learn in the Four Agreements, Don Miguel de Ruiz talks about not taking things personally. It like is so helpful in personal development and especially in entrepreneurship. If we can just remember that this is about the scientific process and meeting the needs of the world, it's not about our ego, it's about what is needed and how can we meet that need. That is so helpful in not feeling failure, like feeling like a failure or like, you know, like, oh, it didn't work, so I am not cut out for this. Like, bullshit. No, it just didn't work. Try again. All right, next question or thought or feedback. I'm all ears. Skipping anyone? Come on, ladies. I know there's lots of cats in lots of bags right now. Let's let them out. It could be questions about my story. It could be like, wait, what do you mean? Or something that inspires you. Maybe your biggest fear. Maybe something that you feel like if you knew it, you would be a yes to being an entrepreneur. Yes, Ren, thank you.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. One of my biggest challenges to date has been trying to balance like a 9-to-5 day job with what I'm trying to build on the side. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as bad at the moment because I'm actually working way closer to home than I have been in the last 7 years, 8 years. What would be a good way to tackle that particular challenge, or what worked for you in the early days?
Yeah. Tell me, this is a great question. Who can resonate with some aspect of what she's curious about here? Like, yeah, for sure. Tell me a little bit more about the challenge here. So you said balancing a 9-to-5 day job with trying to build something on the side. So if you can like name some of the specific challenges around that.
Well, obviously when I'm at the day job, that's my sole focus because that's why you're there. But when I away from the job, which is currently freelance, but it's still basically a day job. There's trying to balance things that need to get done around the house, yard work, social life, what social life, trying to sometimes just having enough energy to get work done on the business projects or get prepared for upcoming events. I'm teetering on the edge of overwhelm once again. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that helps.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I think this is a huge common question for thousands of people that are interested in being an entrepreneur or like maybe even started something, but they also like, we need to pay the bills, right? So we've got this, you know, we have something on the side, whether it's freelancing or a job, and how to balance that, what to do about it. So I think I know your market, so I can speak more specifically to it, but I'm trying to see how I can keep this general so it applies to everybody. I think my suggestion there or my feedback would be the more we know about our market and the more we know about our audience and our ideal target clients and like doing the market research, which I have resources around if anybody's interested of like, how do I do market research? What that means basically is like, how do I find out who are my people? Like, who are the people that need my thing, right? Or want my thing or want to buy my thing. So doing that market research, like basically becoming an expert from the inside, not to say you're not, but like becoming an expert from the inside out around why your people buy. Why do they purchase? Why do they, as they're online or as they pass a gallery or as they are, you know, doing what they're doing or they're, you know, on Facebook, what inspires them or motivates them, whether it's pain or pleasure, which is a whole different thing around marketing, to go through the process of like first contact of like, oh, she sells these really cute little like cute art pieces, right? To like seeing that, to actually following through to making a purchase. So competitive analysis and market research is so helpful because it's something you can do on your own time as you have your, like, as you're working, like freelancing or have a, you know, 9-to-5. And you, in so doing and in better understanding your market, then once you have this, like, this knowledge, you will have a much clearer sense of how to enter the space in a way where you are either disrupting or you are, like, you'll learn about, like, what funnels do they go through? You'll learn what a funnel is. You'll learn, like, oh, they see an ad on, you know, Google, or they'll see an ad on Pinterest or something, and then they purchase. Well, how does that happen? So honestly, studying and researching, if you know what your niche is, or if you know what your thing is, learning that from front to back, especially the psychology, or what is called the psychometrics or psychographics of your audience or your target market. And when you understand why somebody is buying from you, when you understand, or buying from a similar artist or a similar provider or a similar business, when you understand, like, why did they just click that purchase button? What got them to that point? And what need is it that they're feeling that they just filled and found a solution for in doing that? Then you've got this gigantic head start, right? And so this is aligned with the lean methodology, because before you create your MVP, or maybe in conjunction with your MVP, it's really important to know why you're creating what you're creating and who's going to value it enough to purchase it, right? So once you have that knowledge, then it's, you know, and maybe that takes 6 months, maybe that takes a year, maybe it takes 2 years, right, to become an expert in that field. But then you're like, I know everything about these people. I know everything about my market. Like, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, you know, do a series of paintings. I know exactly where to put them, how to price them, and how to get people to, like, lead people to that place. And that will, like, that saves you so much time in trial and error in, like, you know, trying, like, different things. So that would be my feedback around that. I'd love to hear your questions around that. And then I'm seeing that we're at time, so we'll start to wrap out. But Ren, is that helpful?
Yeah, that's actually very helpful. I've done some market research, but I definitely could use some more research for sure. Mm. And yeah, and I'm constantly experimenting with like everything anyway.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, research is invaluable. Look at the people who are killing it. Like, this is what I did. Like, look at the people who are killing it in whatever industry you're interested in, whatever sector, right, whatever business. And, like, killing it meaning, like, I'm not just talking about, like, they're multimillionaires and they have jets and shit. I don't care about that. What I mean by killing it is that they are living the life you want to live, right? They have the lifestyle you want, and they are, their business is successful on the metrics that are important to you, right? Because this is about you. This isn't about jets. So find those people out there in the world, and then research them, contact them, reverse engineer them. There's a whole packet in module 10 called Simulation and Surrogation. It's all about, like, finding people who are doing it, contacting them, and or how to, like, stalk them in a way. I think Kim called me out on this the other day. She's like, so you stalked her? I was like, yes, I did. Basically stalking people in an ethical way to learn how they created the successful, whatever, you know, enterprise that they have. We don't need to reinvent the wheel is the cool thing, right? Like, we can always learn, and it's important to learn the leading edge information, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel. So if you know of artists out there who are, you know, whatever the metrics are you have for success, if they're hitting those, how are they doing it? And then figure that out too. Right. Cool. All right. So I have no idea how time passes so quickly on these calls, but we are already at the hour. So if anyone needs to hop off right now, thank you so much for being here. You are totally welcome to hop off and enjoy the rest of your evening. If anybody would be willing to stay and do a takeaway round, I always love that. There's so much value in the takeaways. And then after takeaways, I'm down to hang for like 10 extra minutes and answer any lingering questions that might be kind of floating here in the group. And I may not be able to answer them in full, but at least I can, like, bookmark those for my masterclass. So show of hands, who's willing to stay around for takeaway round? Okay. And if you have to hop off, that's fine too. Oh, awesome. Thanks, ladies. Cool. So takeaways, as most of you know, but there's two newcomers, so I'll describe this. So takeaway can be anything that you are taking away from this call, anything that resonated, any like an insight or an aha, or maybe a new thought that occurred to you, or inspiration, or something someone said. Yeah, can be anything that you were like, hmm. So I'll offer, and let's keep this to maybe like 30 seconds to a minute for takeaway round shares. And Ashley, I'll start with you.
My takeaway is that there's a lot of research I need to do. And there's a lot of research in getting something going and figuring it out. So some of these things that you talk about, like the market research, doing that, and even just doing seminars and workshops and all kinds of stuff like that. And just figuring out why something hasn't been done before, because there's one of my ideas or passions around, I don't understand why. Well, it's not that I don't understand it. I have a feeling of why it's not in, hasn't been come to fruition yet, but I just need to kind of, I don't know, Google, look around or whatever and figure out why it's not been done yet. So.
Awesome. Yeah. So it sounds like the research part of this, you're like, okay, I'll start to, time to start hitting the Google machine.
Yeah,
totally. That's awesome. And one thing I'll just pin to that is make sure you track your findings. Like whenever you go into research mode, take notes somehow, some way, and like have a system for like, what article was that? Because as soon as you start going down the rabbit hole of research, it's real easy to forget where we read what. So cool. Glad that stood out to you. And one thing I'll speak to that real quick, Ash, so that if you have an idea for something and you haven't seen it done, and you do research and you still don't see it, so look up the concept of blue ocean and blue ocean strategy, which basically means that you have an idea or a service or product or technology that hasn't been done before versus red ocean, which is like a highly saturated market. So like when we go to shop for pens, right, that's red ocean. There's a billion, well, I happen to think that the Pilot G207s are the best pen, but there's a million pens out there, right? So that's red ocean. But blue ocean is like what Airbnb did basically, or Uber. So that's, there's so much information around like how to explore and research blue ocean strategy. So there's that.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Ren, takeaway.
I think the thing that really struck me was that your business is going to be a direct mirror to yourself. That's something that I hadn't really thought about before. Mm. So I feel like I could chew on that for a little while.
Right?
Yeah.
Was there anything specific that like, you were like,
It could explain a lot of the difficulties that I've had over the years. I'm still working through a lot, of course. You know, that definitely explains a lot. And and I do feel like I've made a lot more headway in the last year or two, at least as far as like focusing and figuring it out a little bit more, better, slightly better. But yeah, I do have a long ways to go, I think.
Mm.
But it's been fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Yay. Yeah, awesome. I'm excited for that, too, because your art is so amazing. And I just, like, sometimes this might sound like, I'm a weirdo, but not like the bad kind. Sometimes when I'll see photos of like Times Square or like downtown Tokyo, and there's like these animations I'll see, and I'd like picture your stuff. I picture your stuff like on that scale. I'm like, I can't wait till rent stuff is like out there. Like,
that. So sweet. I don't know if you may not have seen my email yet today, and I have not posted it to the group yet. But I decided to pivot slightly and experiment with doing painting parties. And I have my first one scheduled at the end of this month. And I actually have 5 people signed up, 2 of whom I don't think I know.
Yes! Oh my God, see, meeting a need that is out there in the world. Look at you.
Yeah. And it is so, I've been kind of chewing on that for about, since about April. So, uh-huh. one of the other business owners in the networking group I'm part of suggested it, because he was like, hey, you need to come to my place in, you know, this town, and we need to do a painting party. And I'm like, let me think about that, because I've never
Yeah, well, look at you. Please do post to the group. That is so, that's so exciting. I want to go. Maybe we can do a virtual painting party. Maybe you
oh
can
my host, God. See, I've been thinking about that too.
We can all do
it. I've got to figure out the logistics for that, because that sounds so fun. There's a couple other people I know across country that I think that would be so fun.
Yeah.
And just a few weeks ago, like maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I started thinking about doing this thing, and one of my friends ran across this lady who does mentorship groups for specifically for painting parties.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, why the fuck not? Let's go ahead and see what this is about and join it and see if this works out. I'm like, holy crap. It's a little bit churchier than I typically prefer, but she's like super genuine and she clearly knows her shit. And so I'm like super stoked.
Good for you. Like,
yeah.
Awesome. Love that. Yeah. Please do share with the group and keep us posted.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Painting parties. Yeah. Maybe we could do like a vision board painting party or something. Okay. My wheels are turning. Kim, take away.
Just the reminder that is not to let my ego get in the way. And that I definitely need to get back into the business to document, because I know I have this. And I know I followed it. I need to read it again.
There's a lot in there. Not letting the ego get in the way. Did that resonate with you around that theme around failure that you were asking about?
Yes. Because it's like, I know we've talked about it before, but I know that you've mentored me immensely. And it really is just those stories that play in my head. It's not really, that I don't think it's good work, it's important work, or that, but it's just those things like that pop up and it's like, why are they always in the way?
Yeah. Good old ego gremlin town. Yep. That just reminded me that there was a question from the last call that I think you listened to the recording, but there was a question of what would you be willing to do even if you knew you were going to fail? Like, what would you be willing to do? So that's a whole conversation. So something I tell people sometimes that, and this blew my mind when I learned it, is that the word passion actually means to sacrifice. Passion doesn't really have anything to do with like, I love it. It's more about like, what are we willing to endure and suffer through and sacrifice and let go of for the thing that we're doing, right? So I don't know, that's kind of connected in this whole like failure thing. I am willing to fail until I am bloodied on the floor. And when it comes to like helping people and serving all of you and my coaching, and I hope that never happens, but I'm willing to do it. And I have certainly been right through the coals many, many, many times and fallen off of lots of mountaintops and gotten right back up, because I am willing to endure all of it for you, for the world, for my big why, right? So anyway, Kim, I just wanted to elaborate on that. Like that seems to crush the ego pretty well when we're like, yeah, but this is not about me. This is about helping others. The ego's like, but. thank you for offering that up. Peggy, I am so curious about your takeaway. This is your first call. And like, I'm like, she probably thinks we're the most amazing, or that I'm totally hilariously bananas.
No, it's great. I'm really enjoying myself. I love hearing all the different points of view and everything. I think the thing that jumped out at me most was the social enterprise. I really had never, I mean, I do things to help people, but I'd never really thought about delving into that and learning more about it. Mm. It just really intrigues me. So I think I'm going to start a little research.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's great. I would be happy to send you on the side some, or maybe I'll put these in the Facebook group, some information about social enterprise and good books and leads. And then also in this biz dev doc, there's a whole section. Here we go. Number 5, what is social entrepreneurship and triple bottom line? Why are they important to consider? So these are all books that I've read. These have all been transformative for me and my approach to business, and some articles and books. So feel free to dive into those. Yeah, it's really exciting stuff when we realize that we can be a positive force in the world in all ways. Yeah, thank you. Okay, it looks like that's all of us. Let me go ahead and end the screen share here. Thank you all for sharing your takeaways and for being here tonight. I appreciate you so much. And I think my last question, and you can either share this now or maybe think about it and send me an email. How many of you would be interested in a masterclass for entrepreneurship? And right now, what I'm thinking that would look like is instructional material, kind of like Life, Fun, Purpose. This would be set in a container. It would be like, we're a cohort. There's maximum probably 5 or 6, because I want to keep it intimate. I'm creating materials for you to engage in, to learn in conjunction with your personal development. We would do weekly calls, maybe 3 weeks a month for 2 or 3 months. I'm not sure how the spread would be, but it would be completely devoted to the 101 basics of entrepreneurship and business development in the modern age. Starting from like the literal, like I would be starting from like assuming that nobody knows anything sort of thing. What I wish that I would have had when I started, of like, what does this mean? What does that mean? Like, where do you start? What's first? And then we're going to go on a journey of like learning the essentials. I'm not sure what the price point will be yet, because I just wanted to kind of test the waters and see who would be interested. But it would be a high participation situation, meaning that I would want everybody to be at every call, or most of the calls. And I would want you to engage in the material. Like, this would be like a literal masterclass mastermind. So you can think about it, but if anybody's like, yeah, for sure, I'm interested, feel free to like raise your hand. Cool. All right. Oh, look at that. Okay. Kim's like, me too. Okay. Oh, this is exciting. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I'm going to put this in my cognitive development wheel and start to build this out conceptually. I'm thinking that I would be launching this at the beginning of November, realistically. And I could probably drip feed some materials and get y'all started with like the fundamentals. For example, like, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? And doing some, you know, reflection around that. So it'd probably be November, December, January, like a 3-month spread. So cool. Thank you so much for your interest. I'll reach out to each of you and kind of, you know, probably send out a few surveys and see what your interests are there. But thank you. Cool. All right. I will set you free. Thank you so much for going over time with me and joining in this discussion tonight, and for all your great questions. Yay. And feel free to reach out anytime on the Facebook group, like with these kinds of questions. Like, this is what I'm here for. This is what we're here for. And I guarantee you, if you have a question about something, somebody else has a question about it too. And they're going to be like, thank God she asked that. So feel free to post any entrepreneurship or biz dev related questions in our Facebook group. And I'm happy to dive in there and answer anything that comes up. So cool. All right. Good night, ladies. Thanks for being here. Yay. We'll be in touch soon. Good night. Au revoir. Bye. Bye.